and a good afternoon. Hope you are doing well. Got a great show. Hall of Famer Dan Fouts is going to be coming on in hour number one. But always great to talk with the Hall of Famer and the CBS TV analyst. So that's going to be coming up at 3:30. We start off talking about the amazing game that Brandon Crawford had last night. I mean, amazing. Seven hits. And I'm watching that game last night. And I'll just tell you this. I said before they threw to him, there's no way I would pitch to him in the 14th. Put him on. You have two outs. It was first and second and two outs. Why are you pitching? If you're Miami and Don Mattingly, what are you thinking about? I mean, and I love Don Mattingly, but, I mean, come on. You got to walk him and take your chances. You know, you do not let Brandon Crawford beat you when he's that hot. That's my opinion. I didn't understand that. But you know what? Hey, certainly worked out for the Giants, right? How great was that? The Giants get a much-needed win, and now they will play game two of their three-game set. Meanwhile, in South, the Dodgers are disappointed in Yasiel Puig and some of their AAA teammates. Yeah, you think? Did you see the video? Amazing. Puig began by posting a video of him shirtless in the team's locker room, smiling and saying, quote, "It's so funny. We lose today and everybody's happy." Then videos posted later show Puig and his teammates dancing, singing, and chanting, often using profanity. And then they had a banner on the videos that read, "I love this team." You know what's amazing? Puig had indicated to reporters just 2 days prior that he was using the experience in AAA to get his act together. Pretty embarrassing. Pretty embarrassing. I'm not even sure how the Dodgers handle this. I really don't. I'm not sure how they handle this. All right, on Sunday, the Yankees had a press conference to announce that Alex Rodriguez was going to be playing his last game on Friday. And in that press conference following Alex Rodriguez was the Yankee skipper, Joe Girardi. And he intimated that he would talk to Alex, but that he would play Alex in these three games in Boston. The problem is the Yankees are in the wild card race. But Joe Girardi said, yeah, if he wants to play, I'll play him. Well, Alex Rodriguez obviously wants to play, but he's not in the lineup tonight. And as a matter of fact, he's been told that he'll play in Boston in the Thursday night game. According to Joe Girardi, A-Rod will not be in the lineup tonight. He will not be in the lineup tomorrow night, but he will start Thursday in the series finale. I mean, I'm okay with that, but if you're Joe Girardi, don't come out and say on Sunday that you'll talk to Alex, and if he wants to play, then we'll play him. Of course he's going to want to play. What do you think he's going to say? I have four games left. I don't want to play. Of course he's going to play. You know, again, I'm not so sure, you know, if Joe got caught up in the moment or what, but it's certainly making him look somewhat bad. I'll put it to you that way. Then on the other issue on the other side of the field, David Ortiz, who, by the way, also took PEDs, who is being loved and adored all over the country. Everyone at the game tonight was supposed to receive David Ortiz bobbleheads. All right? The team was going to distribute, I guess, the 15,000 bobbleheads. You know, if you got there early, you'd get one of them. And I guess that the bobbleheads didn't come out very good. Red Sox president Sam Kennedy said, quote, "I thought the bobbleheads were an inaccurate portrayal of David. To go further, I thought the facial features were racially insensitive." How about that? So they're going to have the bobblehead night on another night before the end of the season. I didn't see it. I'm sure we'll get a picture of it. But racially insensitive. So there will be no David Ortiz bobbleheads tonight. And here's the other issue. The Red Sox, from what we're told, they have nothing special planned for A-Rod, nor should they. But David Ortiz, who's been getting a farewell tour wherever he goes, will go to Yankee Stadium at some point to play his final games in the Bronx. And I can tell you, you know, the Yankees shouldn't do anything for him either. You know, you want to talk about a double standard. You want to talk about being hypocritical. And again, I'm not a fan of Alex Rodriguez, so it's not like I'm sticking up for the guy. But, I mean, are you kidding me? You're going to have a guy like David Ortiz, who cheated just like Alex Rodriguez, and many others, by the way. And David Ortiz has been putting on this grand pedestal, getting, you know, serenaded all over baseball. And, like, why is that? Like, would someone help me out with that? That makes absolutely zero sense. And I'm not saying that A-Rod should, because I don't think he should get that type of reception. You know, if the fans want to cheer, then let them cheer. I don't have a problem with that. I can't imagine the Boston fans, you know, giving Alex Rodriguez a standing ovation. I really can't. But it's just, you want to talk about double standards. You want to talk about being hypocritical. I mean, look, every time Ortiz plays his final game somewhere, I mean, you would think that, you know, Babe Ruth has been reincarnated and they're serenading Babe. Don't get it. All right, if you want to talk about any of those topics, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We got the baseball story taken care of. We'll get you to A's baseball coming up a little bit later right here on Sports 1140 KHTK as they're taking on Baltimore. We'll have that 6:30 with all the action from the Coliseum, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play with Ken Korak and company. You know, the other issue, someone said David didn't fight like A-Rod did against the suspension. David Ortiz never got suspended, so there was nothing to fight for. He didn't get suspended. As far as the football picture, the debacle on Sunday night in Canton, Ohio, and make no mistake about it, that's a debacle, all right? And the National Football League, and in this case, Troy Vincent, who is the executive vice president, has basically fallen on the sword and accepted the ultimate responsibility for the fiasco that we saw on Sunday night. He said, quote, while the Hall of Fame field situation underscored the challenges in working with third parties, ultimately I am accountable for ensuring the field is of the highest standard. So he took the blame. I don't know how you can blame him, but someone's got to take the blame, right? Someone has got to take the blame. And so he's the one that took the blame. If you want to call 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Other NFL news. Another day, another suspension in the National Football League. This time, it is Philadelphia offensive lineman Lane Johnson. You may remember Lane. He was in the news in February of this year. He was in the news because he signed a five-year, $52 million contract extension. He is facing a 10-game suspension for violating the NFL performance-enhancing drug policy. How about that? He is appealing the suspension, by the way, so we'll wait until the appeal process is done. I want to read a quote from his agent. We are aware that a member of the media has started a rumor that Lane Johnson will be suspended for a PED violation. Lane has not been suspended, and any report to the contrary is false. Nonetheless, we will not comment on my client's protected health information. The Eagles have not commented. Why would the Eagles not comment? If he hasn't been suspended, wouldn't Philadelphia come out and say he hasn't been suspended? I mean, would they not? Just asking. Just curious. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If he is out 10 games, just another long list of just stupid, ridiculous, absolutely defying actions. It's like, oh, I won't get caught. Oh, I won't get caught. And then it's the person gets caught. I'm gonna hold judgment until the appeal process is finished. All right? I think that's only fair. So if you want to talk about any of those things, we can do so. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to text the show, you can do so. That number is 44-1140, and you can send me a text, and if I have time, I will read it. You know what's something else I wanted to talk about? And again, I don't know how much people care, but is it not almost impossible to wait until 8 o'clock when primetime Olympic coverage comes on without knowing everything that's already happened? It's really is. I in this day and age, with, you know, all the breaking news, with all of the social media, then I don't know, unless you lock yourself in a room for a couple hours, there's no drama when you watch the late night or the primetime coverage because you already know everything that happened. And that's exactly what's going on. I did want to mention this, all right? Anyone that listens to this show, I would think you know how I feel when it comes to taking drugs. I'm the most anti-drug person I think you'll find. I was raised that way. You know, I'm not pounding my chest here. I'm anti-drug. I've always been, and I always will be. That's just the way I live my life. And it sickens me when we hear stories about athletes that cheat with drugs to try to get ahead. And what a disgrace that the entire Russian Paralympic team has been kicked out of the Paralympics, which start right after the Olympics. Anyway, American Lily King, who I had never heard of before, won a gold medal last night. I didn't know of Lily King until the night before when I saw her interview with Michelle Tafoya of NBC. Well, she was going against the Russian swimmer Yulia Efimova, and Efimova was suspended for 16 months, a suspension that ended in 2015. And she was caught again in 2016 for basically the same thing. Well, kind of the same thing. There was a new banned substance. And so right before the Olympics began, an arbiter ruled that she could participate in the Olympics. So she went on and did an interview with NBC. And if you remember the video, the Russian swimmer was waving her index finger after she won the preliminary. So Lily, after the preliminary, said, "You're shaking your finger, number one. You've been caught for drug cheating. I'm just not a fan." Okay? Well, last night, after she won the gold medal, the 19-year-old from Indiana said that it was so incredible winning a gold medal and knowing I did it clean. All right? Later, she was asked about American sprinter Justin Gatlin, who has previously been suspended twice for doping. And her response to that question was, "Do I think people caught for doping offenses should be on the team? No, I don't." Good for her. Good for the 19-year-old. Good for her for stepping up and not being afraid to speak the truth. And I have the utmost respect for her. The utmost suspect. Good for her. You know what? Good for her. And you know what else is good? You know, it's one thing to come down on your rival from Russia. It's another thing to come down on Justin Gatlin. And so for her, she's calling it all the same. Doesn't matter whether you're Russian or American. If you cheat, you shouldn't be on the team. Good for her. I absolutely am in line with that. I think it's great. And I'm really impressed with the way she handled that. I thought it was outstanding. Outstanding. And here's the other deal. She had to go out and win the race last night in the 100-meter breaststroke. She had to go out and win it against a swimmer that a lot of people thought would win in Efimova. So I think it's great. Absolutely love it. Love the fact that she was willing to take a stand and come down on Gatlin the same way she did on the Russian. Someone texted, that was awesome. She needs to have her picture on the Wheaties box. I totally agree with you. Someone wants to know if I drink. I do drink occasionally. So, yes, I'm not against drinking. I don't have any issues with that as long as you do it in a fashion that's not going to get you in trouble and not going to drive and everything. I mean, that's sure. Of course I drink. Am I an everyday drinker? No. Just a little personal life. But I don't have any problem coming out and answering your questions. But I've always been, I was raised, you know, drugs were not a part of our lifestyle. They never were going to be part of our lifestyle. I never, ever even came close. It's just nothing that it's not part of my life. Never has, never will. And listen, I've talked to a lot of people that have drug issues. I'll never forget, you know, I always talk about John Lucas when he was coaching the Houston Rockets. And I interviewed him, and I asked him about the pressure of a situation of a game, and he said, pressure? He goes, you know what pressure is? He said, pressure is when you get up every morning and look in the mirror and pray that you're not going to have a relapse that day. That's pressure. And I was like, well, I have a completely different perspective on people that are dealing with drug addictions because I would have no way of knowing that, but that was probably, gosh, that was over 20 years ago that I did that interview, and I remember it like it was yesterday. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-921-1140. And if you listen to my show, you know how I feel, you know, about the Rolando McClains of the world and the Alden Smiths. They shouldn't be playing in the NFL. To me, they forfeited their right to earn a living in the National Football League. And I think it's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, that the Oakland Raiders still employ Alden Smith, and I think it's a disgrace that the Dallas Cowboys still employ Rolando McClain. It's an absolute disgrace. It really is. Awful. And you know what? Everyone's entitled to a mistake. We're all human. And I'm all for second chances, and in some instances, third chances. But I'm not for fourth chances. I'm not for fifth chances, and I'm not for sixth. Okay? I'm not. And I never will be with these athletes. And I'm talking about these athletes because this is a sports show. I'm not talking about other facets of society. You know, Alden Smith should not be making a living playing in the National Football League. He doesn't deserve it. He hasn't earned it. Actually, he's lost his right to make a living in the NFL. And same with Rolando McClain. And yet, these athletes, and I'm using those two as an example because they're in the news more than other athletes, or at least recently they have been. I think it's a shame that the NFL teams basically roll out the red carpet and say, you know, we care about the individual. You know what? Stop with the nonsense, would you please? Why don't you just come out and tell everyone what the hell's really going on? We care about the individual. You know, it's always we care about the individual. Really? You care about the individual? Okay, great. I mean, come on now. Really? Does Jerry Jones really care about Rolando McClain? He doesn't care about Rolando McClain. You know what Jerry Jones cares about? He cares about Rolando McClain hopefully getting back on the field and helping the Cowboys win in the last 2 weeks of November and December. That's what Rolando McClain, that's what he gets from his owner, Jerry Jones. That's what he cares about. You think that Jerry Jones really cared about Greg Hardy? No, you know what he cared about? How many sacks is he going to get once we sign him? Amazing. Somebody says, wouldn't the NFLPA file a grievance against them if they were to cut either player? No, not at all. You can cut a player anytime you want. I mean, the Packers could cut Aaron Rodgers right now if they wanted to. So, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Someone says, so if Aaron Rodgers was caught two or three times in the next couple of years using PEDs, you would want him out? Yeah, I would. Absolutely. I would say that about Eli Manning. I would say that about Derek Jeter, all my favorite players. Yes, I would. Absolutely. You get caught three times? Yeah. Why do you have to get caught three times? And I would also say this, okay? I think there's a distinction that needs to be made, personally, between PEDs and crimes. Okay, I don't think it's fair to lump in PEDs with drunk driving. I don't think it's fair to lump in PEDs with criminal activity. Okay, I don't think that's right. I think we're talking about two completely separate issues here. All right, here's the reality with the PEDs. I'm totally against it. I don't like it. But you're number one, you're really only hurting yourself. Okay, it's not against the law in terms of you're going to get arrested and go to jail. But if you're driving under the influence, not once, not twice, but three times, you got a major problem. If you've already been to rehab and you've been arrested on multiple occasions, you've got a problem. I can't take a situation like Alden Smith's and equate it to PEDs. I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair, and I can't do that, and I won't do that. You know, one, they're illegal, all right? But one's illegal and one's against the law. One's illegal and one is, you know, just inexcusable. And when I mean inexcusable, listen, I'm never, ever going to get on a 50,000-watt radio station and condone, you know, driving under the influence or anything like that, because that would be stupidity, and I don't believe in that. However, with that being said, I go back to my initial comments. Okay, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we wish we maybe had done differently. Okay, someone that gets a DUI, all right, and again, Let's first of all be happy that Alden Smith did not kill anyone or injure anyone. Unlike Josh Brent, who not only was driving intoxicated but killed a passenger in the car and then was on the football field 2 years later. But I'm all for, you know, second opportunities and second chances within reason. You know, I'm not going to come on the air and advocate that if a professional athlete gets a DUI, they're thrown out of the league, because I don't believe in that. I don't think that would be fair. I don't think that would be right. But, I mean, multiple times, it's a different story. We'll be right back. We'll talk with the Hall of Famer Dan Fouts next. Getting engaged? Celebrating an anniversary, looking for custom bridal design, then make sure you get to the Diamond and Gold Vault, where you're going to find exactly what you're looking for. You're also going to meet Gene and his staff, and you're going to have a phenomenal experience. You're going to have a phenomenal experience because not only are you going to find exactly what you're looking for, but you're going to get top quality jewelry for about half off. And unlike most stores, they tell you why. And they tell you how. They're in an office building. Matter of fact, I've been going to the same location since the mid-90s. And the Diamond and Gold Vault's still doing their thing. Still selling top quality jewelry. Still saving their customers tons of money. And they come back time and time again, just like I have over the years. Go check them out, folks. You'll be glad that you did. They're in the Banner Bank building. Now, it's behind Walgreens. There's a 6-story office building there. It's right on the corner of Arden and Howe. Take the elevator up to the second floor. Go right. And you'll find my good friends at the Diamond and Gold Vault. Grant Napier back with you here. I still get a lot of text messages about the NBA schedule. I don't know. I really don't. As soon as I find out, I'll let you know. I haven't heard anything. The only thing I heard was the rumor about the Christmas Day games, which obviously the Kings aren't involved in, but I have no idea. I really don't. I haven't heard any rumors. I haven't seen anything. I can't comment on it. When I get definitive word on the date that the NBA is going to release the schedule, I'll let you know. Gut feeling it's not going to be this week, because I think the NBA would have announced it already. So I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, sometime next week. But I really don't know. All right, we're trying to get a hold of Dan Fouts. In the meantime, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, I wanted to ask you, and I'm not crazy on rumors, but there was a, you know, again, we've heard a lot of stories as it relates to Rudy Gay. And there was a story about Rudy, you know, desiring and trying to find a way. And I think this came down yesterday from Zach Harper, you know, about playing for Miami. So we'll see if Rudy Gay is going to be on this team. I still believe that Rudy Gay is being shopped. I still believe that there's a 50-50 chance that he'll be traded before the start of the season. All right, let's get to John in Sacramento. Hi, John.
Hello, Grant.
What's up, John?
Hi, Grant. I just want to take issue with your position on the penalizing of players, whether they were charged with PED usage or criminal activity. And I take kind of the exact opposite position, that if you have criminal activity, whether it be drunk driving or anything else, that's what the courts and are for, and the punishments that they dole out against you for your civil behavior. If you take PEDs, you're cheating the sport. You know, Pete Rose bet on baseball. You can go to Vegas and bet on baseball, and it's perfectly legal. He's not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball, and that it might have compromised the performance of his team on the field.
So, well, I'll tell you this. If I committed a felony, I wouldn't be working at CBS Radio anymore, and I wouldn't be the TV voice of the Kings. And so you may be right, but the reality is breaking the law, in my opinion, is a hell of a lot more severe. Now, you're talking about the consequences as it relates to playing pro sports. You're saying, you know what, let the courts deal with that. Well, the reality is the leagues don't let the courts deal with it, because even when the courts do come down with their verdict, leagues still, you know, hand out their punishment.
I know they have moral clauses on behavior.
Yes.
And such, but I'm saying when you take a PED, you're cheating the game.
I don't disagree with that.
It's just like a referee saying, "I'm going to change the influence. I'm going to influence the outcome of the game." I, as a player, am choosing to influence the outcome of the game because I'm going beyond the rules and laws of the sport.
I understand, but the point I was trying to make is, okay, a PED, and it, well, let's just go with your analogy of cheating the game. That's not worse than killing someone. Okay, that's not worse than driving drunk and having a passenger in the car lose their life. It's not worse than that. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you, and that's why I say there are the rules and laws that govern that as well. And I hear just that with you saying with CBS, you have a public profile that then your behavior outside of the station would be a stain on their brand, so they take action on it, and that's what.
In all likelihood, I mean, I believe, yeah. I can't say with 100% certainty, but it would probably be more likely than not. But there have been many members of our media, you know, that have done, you know, that have committed crimes, whatever the case may be, and they still have employment. I don't know. I hope I never have to find out.
Yeah. I was just offering a different vantage or perspective on it.
And I appreciate it. And you make a good point. When you do take performance-enhancing drugs, I believe you're 100% correct. I think you are cheating the game. I also think you're cheating your team and your teammates. But I don't disagree with anything you said there, John. You are cheating the game. I just can't put that as, you know, worse than taking a life because you were driving drunk and killed someone.
Agreed. We're on the same page.
Yes, we are.
Right.
John, thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And the reason why we're talking about this is there's another player in the NFL that apparently, and again, I say apparently because we don't know for sure yet, Lane Johnson, it's been reported, has been suspended 10 games due to a second failed PED test. And his agent said it's erroneous. There have been reports that said he's going to appeal his suspension. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Something else that we've been getting questions on, and I've kept on saying I don't have the answers, but I have said, but don't worry, because everything is going to be taken care of. There will be, with the new Golden One Center opening in October, there will be late-night trains in downtown Sacramento, all right? And the B was reporting that they'll begin running at 10:30 p.m. nightly, a westbound train out of Sacramento, to be timed by the fans that are leaving the Golden One Center. And the trains, they also said, would offer discounts for groups, children, families. So they are, and this is the first of many things that you will hear as it relates to transportation on the evenings of events, not just basketball, but others as well. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Nick in Antioch. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Grant, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, everybody, you know, talk about performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, it's like, why would somebody do it, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, instead of asking that, why is the union and why is the league just shut it down and say, what shot, you're out?
You can't do it because that would never be bargained collectively. You can't do one shot and out. But how about, you know, three shots and out at the worst? You know, I mean, and again, yeah. And to me, if I were in charge, if I could rule the sports world, it would be two times and you're out. But that's never going to happen.
Exactly. Hey, and then as far as the Olympics, you know what? I don't watch any professional athlete that's in the Olympics because to me it's just not the same. I used to watch the Olympics because I get to know amateur guys, people that, like, wow, that guy's real, you know, like the Cuban guy, Topolio Stevenson. You only seen him once a year. And, you know, it brought, you know.
I guess it depends on how you define professional, because the reality is, you know, like you look at swimming, you know, all those swimmers have sponsors. They're still getting income. But, again, there's no professional swimming, so that may not be the best analogy to make. But there are sports that we don't consider, we think they're amateurs, but they're really not amateurs because they're making revenue with their endorsements.
No, I totally agree, but I think this basketball thing is ridiculous.
I agree with you. I can't get behind it. Well, I want them to win. Don't get me wrong. I am rooting for them to win. I don't want to see Team USA lose to any country in the world. I mean, that would be embarrassing, and I'm really hoping that, you know, that does not occur. But I can't watch it. I don't want to watch a game that's decided by 50 points every night.
Exactly. And then to live on that ship, you know, it's
a joke. It's a disgrace. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. John in Stockton. Hi, John.
Yeah, how's it going, Grant?
What's up, John?
Not much, man. Hey, I just want to say, kind of like Bud Selig, man, how he let PEDs back in the game to bring fans back. Just like Goodell and a few other people, they always wipe it under the rug. You know, it's hard for us to be so judgmental on this whole thing.
They're not wiping it under the rug. That's not fair. They're not wiping it under the rug, but they need to be stricter. But go ahead.
I mean, for years they've known that they have to be stricter, though, and they haven't done anything. Football would have a lot more players involved in it, have a lot more college athletes that get more of a shot if they would totally take it out, and there's no question of having it involved in the sport. I really believe that they throw a blind eye at it. Of course, when someone fails, they're going to have to come out and say so-and-so failed, give them the 8 games, give them whatever games they're going to get.
Well, thank you, John. I really appreciate it. I've got to get to the break, but I appreciate you calling the show. This is the Grant Napier Show, and you're home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHTK. And it's always good when we can chat with the Hall of Famer, Dan Fouts. Last week, we spent some time with an Iron Eagle. This is his broadcast partner. They make a phenomenal team for CBS, and you'll be watching them each and every week beginning on September 11th. Dan, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
Good, Grant. Good to be with you again.
You know, I don't want to start off talking negative here about what's going on with the Chargers, but I got to tell you, it's odd to me that 31 other teams have their first-round pick in the camp, and the Chargers are the only team that doesn't. And, again, we're not privy to what's going on behind closed doors, but it doesn't seem to me like the Bosa camp is asking for more than other draft picks in that area have. What do you think of this situation?
Well, again, it is a negotiation, and, you know, you're never going to get the true story from either side about what's going on. I think you might go back to the Ryan Leaf situation and examine that. And I think the Chargers are a little leery of Bosa because of his past. But if they were so leery of his past, why did they draft him to begin with? That's the question I have.
That is a very good, that's a very, very good point. Dan Fouts joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. Well, you know, here in Northern California, there are a lot of people talking about the Raiders, but I sense that there are a lot of people around the country that are taking notice of what Reggie McKenzie's done in terms of building this team. What are your thoughts on this club?
No, I definitely think they're a team to keep your eye on. And in fact, I will be in Oakland for the Tennessee-Oakland third preseason game. It's going to be a national TV game on CBS. So, I'm very anxious to see them in that game because, as you know, Grant, that is the game that most of the starters will play a good amount of the time, and they'll get a real test before they get a week off and the regular season begins. So, you know, the Raiders are, you know, a favorite for a lot of teams, a lot of fans around the country because it's been so long, and now they got a chance to really get excited about what McKenzie has done and Del Rio. And it seems like a good combination, and it seems that they're obviously, you know, headed in the right direction. But one caveat is they are in a tough division.
No question. When you watch Derek Carr play last year, as he now goes into his third year, what would be a natural progression for him? What should fans expect from Carr in this his third season?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting for him because this is a season – for him, and we just talked about expectations. Well, and none greater expectations for a quarterback going into his third year after getting you know, such a great amount of experience his first two. So how does he handle the pressure of the expectations not only upon himself but upon his ball club? That's what's going to be interesting to me is to see, you know, how you react to a loss now that maybe a game you should have won and the fans you know, people are questioning it throughout the media, all those types of things that happen to every starting quarterback, but something that really hasn't happened to Carr yet because the Raiders were under the radar. Well, they're right on the radar now.
When you played, if you got caught up when the schedule came out, but three of the first four for the Raiders are on the road, and they're all on the Eastern time zone, and then they end the season with three or four on the road, including Kansas City on the 8th, where they have a home, that's a Thursday, the Sunday before they're at home against Buffalo, so they got to travel to Kansas City on a short week, then they're at San Diego, home Indianapolis at Denver. Do we in the media make too much out of the schedule?
No, that looks like a killer schedule just because from a physical standpoint, as you mentioned, you know, you go back east, three of the first four, that is that's questionable in my mind. You know, the league, I don't know if they've got it out still for Al Davis or not.
Well, hey, you know what? People wouldn't say New Orleans is in the east, but I would. Baltimore is on the east and Tennessee. But the point is they're all 10 a.m. starts on the West Coast, you know?
Well, and they're 4 to 5 hour flights. Yeah. Don't forget that.
So yeah, that's right.
That does take a toll. I mean, New Orleans is as far because it's so far south.
That's right.
There's a lot of cities back east. So, you know, it is difficult to travel that early in the season. That's a great distance.
Yeah. You know, and yet, listen, I know that the coaches will say, hey, guys, you know, we play 8 at home, we play 8 on the road. The only thing I heard from Jack Del Rio about this schedule, he does not like having to go from Buffalo to Kansas City on a Thursday night. He was saying the league had told us they were going to try to keep teams in the same time zone on Thursdays, but, you know, that's the way it is. Another team I wanted to ask you about in the AFC, because, you know, is Jacksonville. And I'm not saying they're ready to step up and go to the playoffs, but a lot of people are talking about they like what's developing down there with this Jaguars team. Do you see them ascending? Are they going in the right direction?
No question. And not only are they going in the right direction, they're in a division that is gettable. They can surprise some people. You know, Bradley's done a great job with really infusing a lot of enthusiasm there in Jacksonville. And you know, the players he took over were Del Rio's guys. So he's kept a number of them, and he's added a nice young quarterback in Bortles. They're a team that will surprise a lot of people.
We're talking with Dan Fouts, the Hall of Famer. He and Ian Eagle for CBS. They'll be doing a lot of the top games this year in the National Football League. All right, so as you get ready for the season, and you talked about you'll be out in Oakland to do preseason game number 3. From your perspective right now, when you get ready for the season, what are some of the things that you're doing in the month of August?
Well, I'm trying to figure out where everybody is. You know, that the first thing you got to do is look at the rosters and find out which free agent went where, who got cut, who got traded. All those things are kind of fascinating in this era of free agency to see how a new guy who's gone for the big bucks fits in with his new team. And, you know, that word chemistry always seems to rear its head when you're talking about football and how does the big money from another city come in, and that, how does he fit in? Sometimes really well, sometimes not so well. And it really shows in the preseason, as far as injuries are concerned and maybe not playing as many minutes as you'd like, all those types of things. Who's getting ready for the regular season and who's not?
Dan Fouts from CBS joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. I was talking with Mike Pereira this morning, and we were going over some, you know, rule changes and some points of emphasis. And I was not aware of this. I really wasn't that, you know, in the open field, not necessarily on a 3rd and 1 when a running back's running into the line of scrimmage, but basically in space, you know, neither the ball carrier or the defender can use the crown of the helmet. Do you think that's going to be an issue?
Well, they've had that for a couple of years now. It has been very few times has they called it on the running back.
Right.
I can remember Adrian Peterson getting flagged once in a while because that's kind of his style to attack the tackler, if you will. But point of emphasis is something that you'll see called early in the season, a lot in the preseason, just so that the players and the coaches get the message.
And getting the message, I mean, this is what you do. You got 6 weeks of training camp. You have 4 preseason games. I mean, once the season begins, everyone should be on board, correct? It shouldn't be that big of an issue, or am I wrong?
Well, they do very little hitting anymore in the National Football League. In fact, you talked about 6 weeks of training camp. Really, they're not going double days at all, hardly. Back in the old days,
sure,
it was quite different. But they're trying to make the game safer, and that's important, obviously, because if they don't make it safer, you're going to lose potential ball players down the road to other sports.
All right, final question. We know Brady's out for 4 weeks. So Jimmy Garoppolo, he goes through training camp. Talk to me from a quarterback's perspective about what he's dealing with, you know, knowing that he's got this 4-week stint.
Well, you know, the big thing is you always talk about opportunity, and this is his, not only to show what he can do for the New England Patriots, but remember, Brady's 39 years old now. He can't play forever, although he says he wants to play till he's 45. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
He's the backup. He's got a great chance now to show what he can do, not only for the Patriots, but for any other team in the NFL that needs a quarterback, and a lot of teams still do. You go back to the Matt Cassel situation when Brady was hurt a couple of years back. Matt Cassel turned that into a fine contract, but he's been with about 12 teams now, hasn't he?
You're right, and he never ever did anything close to what he did in New England. I guess, do you buy the fact that you're as good as the players you play with?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
I mean, that's
question
it, right?
New England.
Dan, always good talking to you. Thank you very much.
Been a pleasure, man.
All right, that's Dan Fouts, CBS, joining us here. Coming up, I'm going to talk some baseball. A very enlightening conversation I had this morning when I was hosting the Jim Rome Show. Rob Dibble joined me, and he was great. I'll replay that. We'll have some baseball, including some talk on the Giants. That's going to be coming up next, the Grant Napier Show, continuing here on Sports 1140 KHTK.